I'd invite you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, even 2 Timothy maybe. Thank you for that. So, 2 Peter 2, anyway. I don't know why that's in my head at all, but 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the heart of the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. As you know, I've been just picking up thoughts as I've been going through it. And this week I just simply got stuck on a line there. Remind them of these things. That's it. Remind them of these things. And in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. One of the things I often say about myself is that I am like a leaky bucket, spiritually speaking. And what I mean by that is that even though I get the input of God's word, coming to church, studying at home, preaching the word, going to Bible studies, listening to sermons online, talking with other Christians. Even though I say that, I find that as fast as the information goes in into my spiritual bucket, I seem to have a lot of holes. I seem to leak. Just put up the next slide for the sake of my little picture. So I put a little picture on each of my slides. And I thought, oh, that's sort of like me, that particular picture there. Information goes out. And sadly, information goes out, goes in, and information goes out, spiritual things. And if I don't keep myself topped up, I will just become an empty Christian person. Now, I might say that about myself, but I'd also say it about you, actually. You're no different than me. When I think about any of us here, we're all people that continually need to be topped up with the gospel, with the preaching, with the Bible, that we continue to need to do devotions at home, continue to pray. We need to do these things. Because our capacity to forget is so huge and immense. We're just like that as human beings. And you know, I don't believe that we will stop this leakage occurring, spiritually speaking, till we pass on into glory. I just don't think it is possible to get to a level that you can say, well, I never really need to open my Bible again. I've absorbed it all. So if I said, what do you do? And I've just listed some of the things I've said already. We just put that in, type them in, tap away. Good to go to church regularly. This is what we would say, wouldn't we? It'd be good to attend Bible study. It would be good to meet up with other Christians. It would be good to listen to good speakers, perhaps using downloaded Christian messages. It would be good to listen to 103.2. I suppose you would just say it's good. We need to be continually topped up with the Bible. Some people go to a Christian camp and they have this, what they call a mountaintop experience. You know, you feel spiritually close to the Lord, but we know that after every mountaintop, there's another valley. We don't plateau as Christians. One of the saddest things that I feel I hear is when I might visit a member of the congregation and they say, I don't read my Bible anymore, I know it all. And you might think, nobody would ever say that to me. But it has been said to me. It has been said to me. I know those stories, Gerald. They don't really interest me so much anymore. Obviously, it wasn't one of you, because otherwise I wouldn't dare say it. But that has been said. And some people might feel like that but never verbalise it to me. They might think to themselves, I know my Bible. I know all the stories. And sometimes parents say of children that have wandered away from the faith, they know it all. But the trouble is that when the Bible calls us to remember and not forget, the fact is that much of our Christian memory, our biblical knowledge, our closeness to Jesus just drifts to the back of our minds. It's not like we've forgotten it. If someone gave us a multi-choice quiz, we'd know the answer. But the fact is that in the sin or in our lives, it just drifts to the back and we don't recall it straight away. And that's why we come to church. That's why we're here tonight, so that we can bring spiritual things forward in our mind, so that we would be encouraged by that. You don't have to be a minister to hear the words of Paul to Timothy, remind them of these things. You don't have to be a minister to do that. You have to be a Christian to do that. Paul is saying to all of us, because we're often in a group. It could be husband and wife, it could be families, father and mother and children. It could be friends at Bible study, whatever. Remind them of these things. Remind them of the gospel. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. They're things that we always have to have coming at us because we leak. We need to hear God speak into our lives. So why do we need to remind people? It's because we forget. That's just how it is. We forget. Now, Paul read out Deuteronomy 6. I just want to read a little bit of Deuteronomy 8 to you. Verse 11, be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commands, ordinances and statutes that I'm giving you today. When you eat and are full and build beautiful houses to live in, and your herds and flocks grow and your silver and gold multiply and everything else you have increases, prosperity, right? Be careful that your heart doesn't become proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water out of the flint rock for you. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers had not known, in order to humble and test you, so that in the end he might cause you to prosper. You may say to yourself, my power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth, in order to confirm his covenant he swore to your fathers, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods to serve them and bow in worship to them, I testify against you today that you will perish like the nations the Lord is about to destroy before you. You will perish if you do not obey the Lord. Remind them of these things. What is a great danger, spiritually speaking? Here he just says that prosperity and and pride in your own ability can rise up, and then you can so easily forget the Lord and just place yourself there and think to yourself, I'm a self-made person, I don't need God. Jeremiah has these famous words. Sorry, I'm just a bit stunned that it's raining, that's all. So, can a young woman forget her jewellery or a bride her wedding sash? Yet my people have forgotten me for countless days. How skillfully you pursue love, you also teach evil women your ways. As you know from about things about me, because I've been a minister here for a long time, you know I forget my glasses. And if you were in my house, you know I forget my keys, where I put them. I forget where I put my pen today. I forget where I put my wallet. I forget lots of things. I'm really not looking forward to needing a hearing aid because I'll forget where I put that as well. I'm pretty good at losing things. But in all that kind of forgetting, it's frustrating, and you say, next time I might, with my keys, I'll hang them up as soon as I get home in the right spot. And apart from being frustrated and looking everywhere for things that you lose, you just feel a bit silly. It doesn't really matter all that much. If I forgot my wife's birthday or our anniversary, my wife would forgive me and we could laugh about it, probably in a couple of decades. My worst nightmare about forgetting things, and it's a genuine nightmare, I've woken up in a complete panic and complete sweat, is in regards to forgetting that I was meant to preach somewhere else, and I wake up trying to get there but can't get there, and so on. And then you wake up and you're just so thankful that it was just a dream. It's only happened once that I've forgotten to turn up to a service. That happened a few years ago, actually. And I just got to the roundabout when it was a roundabout here in Barden Ridge. And my phone beeped in my pocket. And I realised that I was meant to preach at another church. 9:15 it was. Their service was at 10 o'clock, which was good. And the only comment after the service was this one. That was a short message. Why was it a short message? Well, I didn't have a sermon. So I just had to go off something from memory. It was a terrible experience. That's the only time that nightmare of forgetting has come true. Now, certain times, forgetting can be a little bit more dangerous. If you forget a court appearance, that could be dangerous. Or if you forget to pay your electricity bill and the lights go out, that can be disappointing. But brothers and sisters, from the passages we just read, from what we know about God, if you forget God, it has huge implications. It's catastrophic to forget the Lord. It's catastrophic to fail to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. It is absolutely dangerous for our faith. And in terms of Deuteronomy 8, you will perish if you do not obey the Lord your God. And God is saying those words to the Israelites, who he had provided with rescue from Egypt, manna in the wilderness, water out of the rock. He'd provided them with all these things. He'd given them lands and fields that they hadn't ploughed and houses that they hadn't built. And he provided all these things for them. And he says, but don't forget me. And yet it happened time and time again. How often do we read in Judges, and as we go throughout the Bible, about how often they forgot the Lord? And we often sit here in the 20th century, the 21st, in our building, and we think, Gee, those Israelites were bad. Look how they forgot the Lord. How is it possible to forget the Lord? And yet they did. And yet how easy for us to forget the Lord also. When I think about what God did to the Israelites, he provided them with many ways to remember. He provided them with the sacraments, Passover, circumcision, as a reminder. He often said to them, build a memorial of rocks for a victory, or as you cross through the Jordan River, place a pillar of 12 stones. God did those kinds of things to help them remember. The Psalms are surely things that were God ordained or God inspired so that people would remember him in song. And then there was the multitude of prophets that came to remind the people of God's love and his law. And brothers and sisters, Paul says the same thing to Timothy, doesn't he? Remind them of these things. Remind them to be faithful. Remind them to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Remind them of these things. That is your task as a preacher. That is your task as a teacher in that church. Remind them of these things. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to fight about words. This is useless and leads to the ruin of those who listen. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle, this is my 2 Peter thing, so that's probably where I got it from, 2 Peter 1. Peter writes to the churches that he's writing to, verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. In Hebrews 12, we read this. In struggling against sin, you did not resist, yet resist to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My sons, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly, or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Remind them of these things. Such important words. I visited a man nearing his death. A Christian man. He loved the Lord all his life, served here faithfully. And he lost complete assurance of salvation at that point. And all I did was remind him of these things. Things that he knew and loved. And he was encouraged in his faith. As he was nearing his death, the devil's whispering in his ear and telling him, you're not worthy, you're not worthy, you're not worthy to go to heaven to be with Jesus. I simply reminded him of these things, things that he already knew about God's faithfulness, about how God holds us to his chest, about Jesus Christ paying for all his sins. I even remember saying, do you think Jesus Christ was an incomplete saviour and that he didn't achieve in his death, the washing away of all your sins. He knew all those things. I just simply reminded him of these things. Here we read, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't forget that the Lord disciplines those he loves, and sometimes we go through difficult patches. Sometimes brought about our own sin or just circumstances. And you would just come next to a person and remind them that you are really someone loved by God and he's disciplining you at this time. Or if you visit someone who's unemployed or whose marriage is just imploding, you remind them of these things, that God is faithful, that God is true, that he does love you, that he is committed to you. And even though you can't see it all now and you can't see the future, that God is actually with you. And so you remind them of these things. I think my job as a minister is just all about reminding people of these things. There's very few things that I would ever say that you would say, I haven't heard that before. I'm sure that most of what I've said you've heard from someone else. Or you've heard it before, or mum and dad have spoken about it, or a friend's brought it up. You've heard everything that I've said. Sometimes I might come up with a little twist that I think could be quite clever, and you haven't heard that before. But on the whole, you know the message. Why are you here tonight? Not to get new information, is it? Really. It's to be encouraged in your faith as you remember these things. Why do we do Lord's Supper? Why do we sit around the table together? It's just a reenactment of the old story of Jesus and his love, and we feel encouraged as we remember the things that Jesus has taught us. When we're angry, and when someone's hurt us, we think to ourselves, I'm never going to speak to them again. They've hurt me. They've said some cutting remarks. And you come to church and you hear about God's unbelievable love to you. You might hear about the parable of the unmerciful servant that day. Sometimes God's sense of humour works that way, doesn't he? He just talks to us exactly where we're at. And you think of the unmerciful servant who was forgiven much, and then you can't forgive the person that's hurt you a little and stepped on your toes, spiritually speaking or personally. And you're just reminded of these things, that you have to forgive, that you have to get on with your life, that this is what God requires of you. And so we come each week, or we open our Bibles for devotions, and we read things and we feel absolutely encouraged to go on in our Christian walk. It's not that we didn't know the story, we knew it well. It's just God brings it from the recesses of our minds forward, and we feel absolutely encouraged. In 2 Timothy 4 we read this, and this is the power of the scriptures. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. God uses his word, and it's empowered by the scripture, by the Holy Spirit, to touch our lives. One of my favourite ways of looking at the Christian life is like this, that we're a bit like Zacchaeus. Now, what was the problem with Zacchaeus? He couldn't see Jesus, right? So he's a short little bloke. There's a huge crowd. He can't see Jesus. And what does he do? He climbs a tree so he can see more of Jesus. That's what he does. I quite like the story. There's a lot more things about Zacchaeus that you could talk about, but what I like about it is this, that Zacchaeus put himself in a spot where he could see more of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I like about it. Zacchaeus put himself in a spot where he could see more of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? How do we do that today? Well, Jesus is not walking past. We do it through the scriptures. So we go into spots. We place ourselves in situations where we can see more of Jesus. So what do? We come to church hoping the minister's going to lift Jesus up so we can see a little bit more of him. We open our Bibles for devotions in the morning or on the train or wherever we do it, and we hope to see a little bit more of Jesus. We go to Bible study on Tuesday or Wednesdays or youth group so that we can see a little bit more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in doing these things, we're being reminded of truths that are precious. And sometimes God's word is going to teach. Sometimes it's going to rebuke us. Sometimes it's going to correct us. Sometimes we're going to be trained by it so that we might be the kind of people God wants us to be. Most of my own knowledge, I think, as a Christian, probably up to my early 20s, was just simply from my mum. Every day, faithfully, at dinner time, you'd open the Bible and do a devotion. I knew all the Old Testament stories really well. I would have done really well in one of those quizzes, Bible quizzes. Doesn't mean that you know more of Jesus, but you knew the stories well. And that equips you throughout your life. Paul says, remember the Lord Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is the gospel. So can I just encourage you tonight, just make sure you're a bit like Zacchaeus and you get to good spots to see more of Jesus. You can't know it all. And even if you know it all, the problem with the devil is that, and life circumstances, is that you push them things back. Reading the Bible just brings things to mind. It brings it forward. The Holy Spirit does that. We have to be involved in that. Timothy's job was to remind them of these things. Your job too is to remind yourself of these things. And you go to Bible studies and all the other things to keep on putting Jesus Christ to the forefront of your mind rather than the recesses of your mind. I read somewhere, and I don't know where, that when we sin, we just simply block from our mind all knowledge of God at that moment. We just push God right back. And to live a Christian life, to be obedient, is simply to bring the knowledge of God forward through the power of the Spirit, through the Word of God, so that we might live for Him. Amen.